Arnold Newman has photographed some of the most famous and interesting people in the world. He's taken portraits of Leonard Bernstein, Truman Capote, Isaac Asimov, Picasso, and presidents from Kennedy to Clinton. These photographs and many others are featured in a new book called Arnold Newman, and they are on display at the Corcoran Gallery here in Washington. Arnold Newman has called his photographs biographies, and they are, in a sense. Each subject is photographed immersed in objects that conjure his or her life. The physicist Robert Oppenheimer, for example, he's shown seated at a wooden table, research papers spread out in front of him. Behind him, a wall so white it could have been blasted by an atomic bomb. Arnold Newman is credited with creating this style. The photographs are called environmental portraits.
I had worked during the Depression when I had to work, and I was offered a job with these standard portrait studios, although it was less expensive than the average. It was where you saw two photographs in a studio's window, and each man was dressed up very nicely in a suit, and they had a tie, and their hair was combed very nicely, all that sort of thing. But the lighting, the background, and the poses were identical. You couldn't tell the difference from the owner of the big factory from a man who worked on the assembly line, which the other picture was. And I rebelled against that, and I wanted to say something about that particular man or woman.
Some of these portraits have material things around them that are entirely unexpected or the opposite of what you might expect. For instance, Gypsy Rose Lee, the famous burlesque dancer, she's stretched out in a classic nude pose. It could be Goya, but it could also be the sort of nude portrait over the bar. And on a chaise lounge, her face in the traditional, angled into the traditional profile, you know, arm up. But she is wearing a very elegant, long black dress, and so long that it wraps around her ankles. So demure.
She actually, her friends were all intellectuals, writers. As you know, she was married to a writer. She married a painter. And I always felt that this was sort of a, and I cooperated with her in sort of poking fun at her image.
It sounds then like this, the choices you make in these portraits oftentimes involve the subject. That is, they're something of a collaboration. Do you interview people? Do you let them choose what they want around them? Do you walk in with an idea of your own?
Well, obviously, each different portrait is different, and also how you approach it. Sometimes it'll be somebody in the public eye, and I know exactly who that person is. So obviously, I have certain images in my mind. But photography is physical. It's not like painting. And so if I walk in, and what I would like to find is not there, but something else, sometimes it's much better than I expected. A photographer must learn to observe and take advantage of what is there. And probably my best known photograph is the Stravinsky picture.
Ah, yes. Stravinsky is not sitting playing the piano. He's angled his head in a way, is angled to the left and angled to the right, is the stark black outline silhouette, if you will, of the lid of the piano held up.
Exactly. It repeats the lines. I want to do one picture that said everything I could about Stravinsky. That's what I try to say with all of these pictures. But with Stravinsky, what could I do? And I remember the beautiful shape of the piano. And I wanted to combine this shape because it reminded me of his music. It is linear. It is a beautiful shape. It looks like a B flat. But it's also strong and harsh. It's very, very beautiful. And so I began to work out this kind of abstraction in my mind, and we finally found the perfect place with a piano. It was an editor's home We took a picture down off the wall. I had one light bouncing off of one wall, and that's all it was. And if you have to give it a label, it's a symbolic picture. The piano is symbolic of his work.
And what made you decide to have Woody Allen writing stretched across his bed?
Very simple. That's how he writes. He will stretch himself out on the bed and do his writing for his scripts for his movies. It's not as obvious as something like Mondrian or Stravinsky, but it is still very carefully put together at the end.
It seems in this collection, in the collection that's in this book, that most of the subjects are people that you would personally be interested in or maybe like to have dinner with. It just feels that way, that partly because these are interesting people, artists and whatnot. But in the middle of the book, there is a portrait of Alfred Krupp.
I knew you were going to say that, and the book is open right to that photograph.
Yeah, why don't you describe him and it?
How did I come about taking this photograph?
Yeah, now this is an industrialist and a condemned World War II criminal.
Exactly.
You went to Essen, Germany to take this photograph in 1963.
That's correct. I was asked by a magazine, believe it at that, to do a photograph of him for a cover. And I said no, and the editors looked at me in surprise. I said, I won't do it. They said, why not? And I says, I think of him as the devil. And they said, fine, that's the way we think. And I was stuck with the job. When he used slave labor, fed them too little, some of them dropped dead in their tracks. They were all handcuffed, or rather chained to their machinery, so they couldn't run away. And then when they got too weak to work, he sent them off to Auschwitz. And that was why I felt him as the devil. And you know, of course, he went to jail. And in our wisdom, we let him out of jail, gave him back his castles, his factories. And here was a man who sent people to their death, many of them. And he did it deliberately. And it was tough, but I got exactly what I wanted. And when I did it, my hair stood on end. It just worked.
He is sitting, hands under his chin, looking as if some unearthly light is lighting his face. And behind him, it's this bilious green. It's a factory, but a very scary-looking factory.
Well, it reminded me of Hades. And the green is from the type of lights that lots of factories use. And instead of correcting it, I let it stay that way. You can do that with filters and so on. But I left his face natural, but I lit it slightly from below. I'm prouder of that than any picture I took because it's my statement about the Holocaust. And if I want to be known or remembered by one picture, I want it to be by my shot of Krupp.
Photographer Arnold Newman. A major exhibition of his photographs is on display at the Corcoran Gallery here in Washington and also collected in a new book.